Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that the unfolding of your word gives us light. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever lost your voice? Maybe after a dose, a winter dose, or maybe after singing at a concert, or shouting a lot at a football match. But this morning we're going to look at Zechariah. I forgot his name, Zechariah. And Zechariah lost his voice and was unable to speak. Earlier in Luke chapter 1, we read that Zechariah was a godly priest who lost his voice after he encountered an angel and received a message from God that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a baby. It was going to be a boy, and the boy was to be called John. The angel told him that God had plans for John, and that he was going to go before the Lord and prepare the people and point to the long-awaited and promised Messiah. John was going to call back many people to God. When Zechariah heard this, he was dumbstruck, literally. He was struck dumb, unable to speak for over 9 months. And he couldn't speak because, as verse 20 tells us, he doubted. He doubted what God had promised. Maybe it was the shock of the news that caused him to doubt. Maybe he doubted because both he and his wife Elizabeth were elderly and they had not been able to have any children until then. But because of his doubt, Zechariah was unable to speak for the best part of a year. It must have been a very quiet household for that year. I recently read a story about a monk, and when he entered a monastery, he took a vow of silence, and he was only allowed to speak once every 10 years. So after the first 10 years, his superior called him in and said, "Is there anything you want to say?" And the monk said, "The bed is hard." Another 10 years of silence went on. And again, he was given the opportunity to speak, and he said, "The food is rotten." After another 10 years of silence, his superior gave him the opportunity to speak, and he said, "I quit." And the superior said to him, "Well, I'm not at all surprised, because all you've done since you've come here is complain and argue." You see, the monk's words and our words show what we're really thinking on the inside, what we're thinking in our hearts. Now, Zechariah had a period of silence because he doubted, but he had no need to doubt God. God was totally trustworthy. Their baby son was born just as God had promised. And on the eighth day, the baby was going to be circumcised and named. And we are told that everyone assumed that the boy would be named after his father, maybe Zach or Zechariah Jr. And names were and still are very important. I heard once of a dad, and when he was asked about his wife, about what to call their son, he said very firmly, "Bobby Morris William." "Bobby Morris William," his wife said to him. "Why is that?" And the new father said, "Because I always wanted a BMW in my family." Well, Zechariah didn't want a BMW, but he wrote down, "His name is John," just as he had been told by the angel all those months ago. Immediately Zechariah's mouth was opened, his tongue was loosened, he could speak again. After 9 months of silence, what would spill out of Zechariah's heart? Would it be complaint? No. Zechariah began to speak, and he praised God with his first words after months of silence. We are told in the reading today that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. And let's look briefly at three things that Zechariah said. And the words of Zechariah's songs might be familiar to some of us because they're sometimes said or sung as the third canticle in traditional morning prayer. And the passage is often called the Benedictus, and that's after the first words in the Latin translation of the passage. But Zechariah breaks in to song. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Firstly, Zechariah praises God because he said God fulfills his word. God never breaks a promise. His plans do not fail. God shows tender mercy to his people and intervenes himself to rescue and save them through Jesus. Secondly, Zechariah describes Jesus as a horn of salvation. A horn of salvation. Isn't that strange? I had to think and look to see what that meant. But think of an animal with a horn. Perhaps you would think of a rhinoceros. He actually has two horns, but very, very strong. Or the horns of a goat or a sheep. Again, very strong. Or maybe near a home with the farmers. Think of the horns of a Highland cow. You see, in the Old Testament, the horn represents strength and power and victory. Jesus commands respect and honor because although Jesus did come to earth as a vulnerable baby, he is strong and victorious over sin, over death, and the devil. And Jesus is described as the horn of salvation. In other words, Jesus came to save people, not just to teach and to heal them. Jesus alone, through his birth, death, and resurrection, has the power and the strength to save people. The Bible shows us that God has a great plan that all people, through repentance and trust in Jesus, can be saved from eternal punishment, which we all rightly deserved. And the salvation which Jesus offers is not just a ticket to heaven. Zechariah says in verse 74 that Jesus came to rescue us from the hands of the enemies, to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. You see, when God saves us, what is our response to that gift of salvation? When we really appreciate what Jesus has done for us and have received the offer of salvation, then our response will be naturally one of love, of thankfulness and service. I know we all have our favorite Christmas carols, and one I like is the Bleak Midwinter, and the final verse I love. I'll read it to you, I won't sing it, but it says, "What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart." We give him our hearts and our lives. And I'm sure many of us have experienced what that means in practice. And maybe we're surprised by the new ambitions or the different priorities as we want to live with Jesus and for Jesus. We can never repay God for his gift to us in Jesus Christ, but it is only natural that we will give our hearts and our lives in response and in gratitude to what God has given us. So in this song, Zechariah firstly praises God, then he speaks about Jesus and the salvation that he brings, and finally, briefly, he prophesies about his own son, John. He says that John will be a prophet who will go ahead and prepare a way for the Lord. John had a call of God on his life. And as we read on in the Gospels, we see how this unfolds and works out in the life of John the Baptist. You know, some of our young people or young families might have come across the children's books called A Series of Unfortunate Events. And in Luke chapter 1, we see a series of remarkable events which all lead up to and point to the birth of Jesus on the first Christmas. God himself is setting the scene. He's getting things ready for the arrival of his son, Jesus. And in our reading today, we see a series of remarkable events. An encounter with an angel, a promised son for an elderly and infertile couple, words of direction and calling for their son, called John, and many words of promise about a coming saviour and a rescuer, the Lord Jesus. So to finish, what can we each take home from Luke's account today? What can we learn? What are the principles we see that are relevant and applicable to us? There are so many because God's word is so rich, but perhaps for some of us, it will remind us to believe and not to doubt God's promises. And then to think, well, what are some of the promises that God has made to us? What are some of the promises that God has promised to me? Perhaps for some of us, we want to thank God for Jesus and receive his gift of salvation. Or maybe we might want to ask God to show us the purpose in our own lives and his call on our lives. God's word is so rich. And can I leave us with a challenge this week? Can I challenge us all, each, to get into a place of silence? Now, not silence for 10 years, not silence for 9 months, but a place of silence. And let's read over this account of Luke chapter 1. And as we read, let's ask God to impact us afresh with the truth, with the wonder, and with the application of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, and we thank you for Jesus, who came, as Zechariah said, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. Thank you for Jesus, who came to guide our feet into the path of peace. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.